Just 18 months ago, almost nobody had ever heard of Zoom. But now, churches use it all over to help people stay connected. But using Zoom for small groups is not the same as doing small groups in person. In today's episode, we walk through some of the tips that you can use to have more productive small group meetings on Zoom. We hope this conversation helps you reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 72. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, not too much, Ian. Excited for our conversation here today. We are going to be talking about how to host better church small groups on Zoom. This is a important topic, I think. I know that your initial reaction is, gosh, why? And the reason is you live in Texas and I live in Hawaii. Yeah. And when that's the case, we're in totally different worlds, it seems like, here. At my church, most of our meetings are still happening on Zoom because we still haven't had any kind of a church gathering. We've had small ones, but we haven't had a regular Sunday gathering in 18 months. So I think, do you guys have any meetings on Zoom at your church, or do you know what's happening with that?
I don't think so. I really don't. There might be one or two. Of course, you know, part of a very large church, and I'm not over the small groups and don't track all of the groups or anything. That's not my role there. But I will tell you from what I understand, I hope not. but I don't think so. Maybe
part one of me or two. Hopes not to. Here's the thing is that I think this is an important conversation for the Reach Right family here and everybody that's watching, because I think most churches are having in-person services, in-person small groups. That being said, I think there are people in most churches that still don't feel comfortable in group settings and gatherings. And I don't know, maybe they're just introverts, but you know, maybe there are people that have legitimate reasons for that, or they have health concerns. So in my experience, I know our church is an anomaly in that most of our groups, or almost all of our groups, are on Zoom. But I think most churches around the country, at least good sized ones, have some online options. And you're probably smart, I think, to have some online options. I'll say this ahead of time, is that you and I know from our conversations, and so the Reach Right family knows, that we, as a general rule, and speaking generally, we are for in-person gatherings. We think the in-person gathering is not done yet. There is value to corporate worship, to being together, to praying together. And I personally believe that Zoom groups don't fulfill all the requirements of not forsaking the gathering of the saints that we're called to do in Scripture. We're called to meet together regularly. I feel like maybe Zoom doesn't quite get that, at least just yet. I expect that in the future we're going to be coming more and more digital, but I think that this is kind of one of those things that a lot of churches out there are doing Zoom small groups. And so we thought we'd put together a guide, as someone who's been going to them for months and months, that you know, maybe we picked up some things along the way that would help you do better Zoom small group meetings. So do I have that right?
And you're more of an expert probably than anyone with as long as your state has been shut down. So, but I think the most. So
I think I could say that at Reach Right, you know, we have been operating not necessarily on Zoom, but we've been operating on Zoom and Slack. And I don't know what we started on. We were on Skype, I think, when we started doing video conferencing and those kinds of things. So we've been doing videos for our meetings, you and I, for well, I don't know, since 2013, I think we've been doing that as our primary way of connecting with one another. So at our team meetings, our leadership meetings, our Monday morning meetings that we have at Reach Right, they've all been done via Zoom or Slack in some cases. So I think that there's some we've gleaned some things, not just from the church world, but from the business world on how to do these things. So let me start out with this here. Is the first one is, I think it's important to, before you do a Zoom small group, is that you have clear expectations and you lay out the ground rules for everybody that's going to be a part of the small group. So I think that if you, everybody has been familiar with Zoom, it seems like people have been on a Zoom meeting for some kind. I'd say a lot of people have done Zoom meetings for their work. Some of them have done it. We've done it for school. There's lots of places that we've done Zoom meetings. And I think that every place has different expectations. So we're going to go through some of the expectations in this conversation. But I think what's important is that in the beginning, that you would be really specific on what the expectations are, when to show up, what you're going to have done ahead of time, what you're going to be ready to talk about, encouraging everybody to chime in and speak. And this is a lot of the things we're going to be talking about today. But I think the first thing you should do before you even start a Zoom small group meeting is lay out the expectations. This is probably good advice for any small group that's meeting, is that you would lay out what's expected of a small group member, how we're committing to one another, how we're going to hold one another accountable, all those kinds of things. But I think it's especially important in this Zoom era, because it's tougher to get connection naturally, that we actually have that conversation and lay out the ground rules. Agree?
Yeah, agreed. No, that's a good one for sure. Yeah, because I mean, it's different, right? And I think a lot of people are still not used to it. So, and I think you lay out ground rules in a normal small group too. So, absolutely.
Yep, that's good.
Good. Well, I'll take on the next one here is that everyone should have their cameras on. This is pretty funny. So this reminded me when I first, you know, when we talked about this point and when I first saw this point that we were going to cover here as far as having your cameras on, it reminded me of when the shutdown initially happened in the pandemic. I do boot camp workouts. And those got, you know, shut down for a while. So even though they're outdoor workouts, they were still shut down. So my trainer started doing Zoom workouts. So basically there could be about 15 or more, you know, people on a Zoom thing. And it's funny, he wanted the cameras to be on to see everyone doing the workout and the exercises. And if someone had their camera off, he'd be like, hey, I can't see you. I don't know what you're doing right now. I don't know how to coach you on that or whatever on that movement. So it was just pretty funny that there would be a couple of people always on those that didn't have the camera on. And I think when it comes to a small group, you know, the temptation would be to maybe have it off just because you're at home and maybe there's a what's in the background. You don't like the picture in the background where you're sitting, or there's kids running around or something like that. But it's really important, obviously, to, when a camera's on, you know, someone's engaged and you can interact better. Right. It's just so I think that's, and there's other reasons too, of course. So
I think that's the primary, but not to what you were saying, my kids here in Hawaii, we had remote education, remote school for my kids for a year and a half. So like March and through all of the following school year. So I guess 5 quarters of a school year, we had remote education. And they had a statewide policy that teachers couldn't have the kids have their cameras on. They couldn't make them have their cameras on. They encouraged them to do it, but they couldn't make it because it was something to do with equity and trying to make sure that everybody, like the kids wouldn't be embarrassed by their home surroundings and some of those kinds of things. And
while
I understand the heart behind something like that, I have to tell you, it was a huge disservice to kids because those that, if you don't have your camera on, I can tell you, like, just as someone who's guilty of it, if my camera's off, I'm not totally paying attention in most cases. I'm not staring at the camera. Now, in this, I mean, obviously, we're hosting a podcast and we're doing it via video right now. And so we have to pay attention to this. But if someone else is leading a meeting, someone else is talking, and my camera's off, that's probably because I'm not going to be fully engaged with something. So I think it's just really important as part of the ground rules is that you say that you're going to have your camera on. And if there's some kind of an issue of someone not having a camera on their computer or on their phone or something like that. I don't know how that can happen today. Right. Take a donation and buy them a $20 webcam or do something like that and make it happen. It's worth your while for something like that. So this is an absolute must. If I'm hosting a small group on Zoom, cameras have to be on. Now, as a rule, sometimes people will turn their cameras off briefly. But you know what? I think even that is overdone. Like if you're in a group and you have to sneeze, for instance, or cough, you don't leave the room to go cough and sneeze and then come back. Now, if it's a sneezing fit, turn off your camera, do those things. But you don't have to do that every single time you're going to do something like that. Maybe you're not totally comfortable with. So be yourself. Treat it like you're actually there in person. Don't turn off your camera unless it's something you would actually leave the room for. I think that's probably a good ground rule for that.
That's good. That's now, good.
Next one, let me hit it. It's take time for small talk. This is something that I think is missed a lot of times because we feel like if we're on Zoom, we have to stick to the agenda, do what we're supposed to do, knock it out, get it done, because there's this assumption that nobody likes being on Zoom.
Right.
And it's kind of true, right? Like I think how many times have we been on Zoom meetings that we're like, oh my goodness, I have to be on this Zoom meeting. We hate being there and it's something we don't really want to do. And that's because we've been part of so many bad Zoom meetings. But I think it's important that you take time for small talk. And I think that if it's a group of 30 people, if that's what your small groups are, well, you can't have everybody just kind of chiming in and doing small talk. But the typical small group is going to be 6 to 10 or 12 people. You can have some back and forth there. You can chat, have fun, comment on things together. And I think this is really important. I was a part of one group at our church, and I wasn't leading the group. And I remember that there were all kinds of people in the group that I didn't know. I had never, I'd never really met before. And the people that were leading the group, they knew everybody, but it was obvious to me that not everybody within the group knew each other. And we met for 8 weeks, and I got to tell you, like, I didn't know some of the people's names still after meeting together for 8 weeks. And could you imagine going to an in-person small group for 8 weeks and not knowing someone's name? Right. It just wouldn't happen.
And
I think it was because we were so quick to get down to business that we skipped over a lot of the, hey, how's life? How are the kids? What are your kids' names? What age are they? What school do they go to? What hobbies do you have? And, you know, it can be really challenging, I think, if you're skipping on that kind of part. What do you have to add?
Yeah, not much. I think, too, just because Zoom is a little bit more of a challenge and it's, I guess, a little more unnatural, if I can put it that way. Mm-hmm. And I guess, in my opinion, for most people, I think it's a little bit of a challenge. I mean, like you said before, we're good at it here. We use it. We've used it for not just small groups, but for what we do at Reach Right. But I think, too, that's small talk is even more important over Zoom because it is kind of a challenge. And because I think the tendency would be to kind of rush and get through it, like you said. But I think, you know, it's already less personal, so it's more important to be even more personal. So I think, you know, to have that effort, and I think it'll make it a little bit more enjoyable for people if you do the small talk too. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you and I have been in business for so long, and I know you do a lot of the sales side of things. And, you know, sometimes people think it's like some kind of a sales trick or something. But in reality, like just building relationship is an important part of any kind of working relationship.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't want to have clients that we don't know anything about and don't like.
Right.
You know, we want to be friends with the people that we serve. I know, and so we've seen the value of this, and it's part of our process is building relationship and learning about people that we're talking to and where they're from and what they're like and those kinds. So I think that's right. Yeah.
And
I think
the next one,
it goes
the next
well
one
with
is that.
One.
That's what I was going to say. That next one is don't neglect relationships. So we're already kind of addressing this. I think that that's the thing is you still can build relationship, you know, on a Zoom small group. We did. We actually did, to your point earlier, there was someone new that came in during the pandemic for my small group, which my small group was meeting physically, and then we were forced to start on Zoom.
Forced.
So we already...
You're forced.
Yeah, forced. forced is a good word. We were forced at that time, I guess. Yeah. But I guess we weren't. We could have still met in a driveway, but we did Zoom. Yeah. So, but anyway. So yeah. And there was someone new, and by them being able to tell their story, like, you know, what led them to the group. You know, they kind of shared how God came into their lives, their testimony.
Yeah.
And that and through that we were able to build relationship and interact. So I think that that's huge, because again, getting back to the small talk, it is a little more difficult to build relationship over video than it is in person.
Yeah.
So again, it's all the more important to take the effort to do it. Yeah.
Yep. No, I think you're exactly right with that. So I'll get the next one. It is lay out an agenda with timeframes at the start of every meeting. I think this is really important, because you have to recognize that a lot of people have done, they have Zoom fatigue, right? So we've been on Zoom and we have these conversations. I know you spend, you know, on a good day, you spend 3 or 4 hours probably on these kinds of video calls and those things. And I probably spend 1 or 2 in a day on these kinds of video calls here. So we can get fatigued with this stuff. And if I'm being totally honest, how many times have I been in a Zoom meeting and looking at my watch? Maybe I'll turn my camera off for a second, look at my watch and see how much longer could this possibly go on? And if you're having an hour and a half, a 2 hour small group meeting, I think it's important that you kind of set that expectations for people as to how long this is going to be going on and what the elements are going to be. So, you know, you don't have to say we're going to take 3 minutes for Susie to do her small talk portion.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to do that. But I think, you know, we'll kind of, after you do some small talk and those things, maybe you have some kind of like an icebreaker. You'll say, hey, I have a funny question I want to talk about. We'll spend about 10 or so minutes on that. Then we want to get into a time of just getting into the word together. That's going to be about 15 minutes. I want to do maybe about 30 minutes of discussion and get some of your feedback on that. And then we'll pray and kind of wrap up probably at around 8:30 tonight. So everybody okay with that? So if you kind of lay that out, everybody knows that that's what the expectation is. That's what they're going to plan for. And people will be less kind of sitting there wondering, oh my goodness, is this going to go on all night? I still haven't eaten yet and I'm tired. And they'll just kind of, maybe in a sense, they'll resign to it. Or they'll understand what to expect is happening next. But I think that's just really a right thing. But the key is stick with it. Don't say we're going to do that and then take an hour for discussion and finish at 9:15. That doesn't really work that way. So what do you have to add?
Not much. If you have that long-winded person too, this gives you an excuse to say, hey, just a reminder, we only have about 15 more minutes. Wanted to get to Bill over here too. So, anyway.
And if you don't have that long-winded person, if you don't have that person, who is it? It's you, right? It's you.
That's right.
If you don't have that long-winded person, you're the one. So watch out.
Yeah.
That's
it. I'm a talker.
Hit the next one for us. No, I'm not saying you personally.
I'm admitting to it. I'm saying I am that guy.
Yeah,
often,
people that watch this podcast wouldn't think that, I think, because I look at the feed here and how much time I'm on camera, because I'm definitely the long-winded one of us two, I think, when it comes to this.
Two, for sure. I'm just talking about in my small group. So, but no, that's good stuff. So encourage everyone to chime in. So again, I wouldn't have any, like we just said, you or I would not have any problem chiming in.
Right.
There's gonna be those shy ones and those introverted types. And also, I think it's probably sometimes for those types of folks to get even a little more shy over Zoom, because it's just a little, you know, it's just they kind of have a natural way out, right? Because, you know, when you're in person, it does force you to be a little more social. But here, you know, it's good. You want everyone to feel a part of the community and the group too. You want to make sure everyone knows that they're important, even though it's a Zoom thing that a leader might be kind of leading the discussion through, you know, for everyone to have an opportunity to chime in is a good thing.
Yeah, I think being on camera, you're right. There's some people that just, even though they may not feel that strange in person, being on camera makes them feel weird, like it's a performance or they're being watched. I don't know what it is exactly, but I think this is a good rule for any small group that you're leading. But sometimes we are more willing to let it go because people aren't right there in front of you. You know how most of these Zoom meetings work is it's usually a speaker view is what people will use. And so if it's a speaker view, you'll see whoever's talking, and that person who hasn't talked all night, they're not even going to show up on your speaker view ever. And they can be kind of out of sight, out of mind. So you need to be really intentional about this and say, hey, this is the person that I haven't heard them speak. I'm going to ask them to chime in. Now, you know, you do it with grace. You do it with an opportunity where they don't have to say anything, but just something like, hey, Betsy, do you have anything to add to that? Or, hey, Betsy, you seem like someone who would know about this. What do you think? But giving them an opportunity
older person's small group here with the name Betsy.
Betsy?
But, go ahead.
We thought about naming our daughter Betsy. No. We went with Ruby, another old-timey name. So that's what it
that's
is.
Still a little more modern. So, yeah. But anyway, cool.
Cool. Next one is consider breakout rooms. This is a good way if your group is, I'd say, 8+. I think you start to look into using breakout rooms. For those that don't know, Zoom has a function where you can break out into other rooms. So your group of 8 or 10 or 16 can be broken into 2 or 3 or 4 parts. And this can be a good way, I think, especially for kind of prayer times or some of the deeper discussion. Yeah. I think it's really good to do that kind of thing. I think groups of 3 to 4 on Zoom, they really are good for intimate conversation. I think as you get up to 8 or 10, I think it'd be really challenging. But I think this is a good tool to use. Use those breakout rooms to facilitate conversations. I think they're great for building relationship. I think even for the small talk part, I think that's really a good place to do. Kind of, you can get into some small groups, meet someone, or have people two couples go together and kind of get to know each other for a second in their own breakout rooms. Lots of ways to use it, but I think it's a worthwhile tool.
That's good. Nothing more to add. Let me lead us home because I like this last one. It's pray, right?
Yeah.
So we always have a call to action, right? And this is the call to action at the end of a group should be to pray. I mean, I've prayed over the phone before. Prayer doesn't always happen, doesn't have to happen in person. I mean, we know that the word of God says to, you know, lay hands and those types of things. Of course, during the pandemic, laying of hands, different story. It's really important to pray. Obviously, God's going to still hear these prayers over Zoom and honor these prayers over Zoom. And I think that, too, again, this for everything we've been talking about, going deeper, relationship, it's a great way to close. And it's a great way also, I think, for everyone to be heard, you know, depending on, you know, how many people decide to pray or whatever. But it's a good thing to do.
Well, I know you and I mean, that's kind of our company rule is that every time we have certainly a company meeting, we take time to finish in prayer. I know you and I have been praying together via video for years now, almost a decade, probably almost every
Couldn't
time that we would
them.
Connect on this. So I think it's really important. I when I was pastoring a church in Wisconsin, I know that that was one thing that was a little bit strange for our staff. And I don't know why this seems strange to say this, but I had to tell them, do not ever have a meeting where you don't pray at the end. Like, that's something that you should do. And that's not just even a Zoom rule. I mean, you go to coffee with somebody, pray with them at the end, take a time to pray together and do that. There's such an intimacy and, you know, we love Jesus together. That's what we're trying to do is build a relationship in people. So I think that there may be some awkwardness, I think, for people in praying on Zoom. And I probably would be careful, asking everybody to pray out on Zoom because there are going to be people that are already uncomfortable praying in person. How much more so that might even be uncomfortable for them praying on Zoom and, you know, feeling like their words are being watched even more closely. So be cautious with that. But I think you don't have any fear or feeling that maybe praying or maybe we don't meet the requirement of 2 or 3 being gathered so God will hear us. All of that is foolishness. God definitely hears your prayers. We've been praying together, you and I, Ian, for a decade on Zoom and video sources like that. So
He doesn't say, oh, Thomas is in Hawaii, Ian's in Texas.
Two or three have to be together.
Too far apart.
I think that it's... I think that it's something that I bet a lot of our audience is tentative about that just because praying in a video format is just a little bit, it can be stressful for people. So I just want to encourage you to get over the hump. I think once you do it a few times, it becomes second nature. But be praying in your small groups. That's a good conclusion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, good, guys. Thank you so much for being a part of our Reach Right family. It means a lot to us that you guys watch and listen to this week in and week out. If this is something that's valuable to you, please do give us a review. You can do that on iTunes or Google Podcasts. You can leave us a comment on YouTube or on Facebook, wherever you're watching this or listening to it. The more you do that, the more it helps us to get the word out there about the Reach Right podcast. So we hope it's been a help to you today. Yeah. And we hope to catch you next week. God bless.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.